Mike, congratulations, buddy. I told you it was coming any day.
Yeah, you were right last week, pal. You said that it could come at any time, and sure enough, here we are, a new carver in the world, Olivia Margaret. So, thanks to everybody for all the well wishes over the week.
And she's already dealing with some more setbacks in the third period, right?
Oh, jeez, she couldn't take it last night. Let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
All right, welcome to the show. We're going to chat with Brian Erney from Islanders Point Blank in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about Capuano threatening some guys. He didn't mention by name, but he certainly called some people out after the Islanders' 4-2 loss to the Washington Capitals on Tuesday night. We're going to talk about more Belmont Park arena talk. I'm sure Mike's going to be raring to go with that. Michael?
What a disgrace.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, pal, what's going on? Great, doing well. Haven't slept, but, you know, it is what it is.
All right, so give me the play-by-play. I know it was about 3 a.m. when Nikki woke you up, right? Or were you were probably
no,
still
I was,
awake. You were
no,
working,
I
right?
Was, I was on my way home from work.
Oh, my God.
I usually get home from work about 2:45 in the morning. And that's when I got she actually texted me on my way home. She was like, I don't think we're making it to the doctor this morning because we had like our weekly visit to the doctors, you know. And she said, I don't think we're making it. And I said, all right, let's see what happens. And 11 hours later, there we are.
Beautiful thing. Congratulations to the whole Carver family. I hope Nikki's feeling well. Everything good with her?
She's doing well. Yes, absolutely. Baby's doing well. She's a tough cookie already. So
Is she as loud as you? That's the only question.
She's at times. At times.
Did you get to watch any of the game?
I did, buddy.
You
I've
did.
Seen them all. I know what's going on. I've got the you know me, how I DVR everything, bro. We've talked about this in the past. So Thursday night I wasn't exactly locked in. The day that she was born, but I was able to check it out the next day, the St. Louis game, and then I was lucky enough to be able to turn off the Columbus game in the middle of the third period on Saturday night, and then I obviously saw last night cover to cover. So, yeah, pal, I'm in the mix. Don't worry. I know what's happening.
Well, at least we got to see J.F. Berube on Saturday night, right?
Oh, good for J.F. Finally gets out there. He only needs, another 20 appearances before the Islanders get him. He doesn't have to be a UFA at the end of the year.
What a disaster.
Oh, what a disgrace. It
really
just
is.
Gets worse and worse, dude. It really does.
Mike, for the fifth time this season, the Islanders entered the third period tied and came away with no points.
Yeah.
It's inexplicable.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense. I know we've been – it's all we talk about, and it's just beating a dead horse. It really is, and – I don't know what you could do at this point. We've said that they're not making any changes. I think that the beat's just going to keep on going. And you know what, Bri? This is the tough part for them is they had that little stretch at the beginning of the month where you're like, all right, you know, maybe they're getting back in this if they can have another good couple weeks like they've had. And then the problem is everybody in the Atlantic Division right now.
The Metro. It's crazy.
The Metro. Everybody in the Metro.
Yeah.
Excuse me. There's no sleep.
Yeah,
right
I know,
there.
Buddy.
Everybody in the Metro is winning every single night. And now Philly, Washington, Rangers, Pittsburgh, Columbus, they have now shot out ahead of everybody. So what looked like a doable thing to get back involved has now become almost insurmountable if you look at the standings and you look at the way everybody's playing.
Yeah, and I know Thomas Greiss deserves more starts. They continue to hand Yarrow the net. I mean,
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Mike,
I really don't.
Does it matter at this point? If they're going to play these third periods like this, they never have the puck, and when they do, they turn it over within 3 seconds.
To be quite honest, what you really need to do here is you need to play Greiss. I know we've been saying it, but just for the fact now that you know, you need to know if this is going to be your guy possibly for the long-term future because it's not going to be Yaro Halak. He's not the Islander goaltender for the long-term future. And, geez, Yaro, saying what he felt last night after the Capital game, huh?
Well, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Throw some pucks at the net. Maybe anything can happen.
Right.
Don't get it, Yaro.
How many odd man rushes do we have to watch where they pet, where they make these ridiculous shoot the puck?
It's insane. It really is. But you got to play Grice just to know if this guy can be a guy who can play the bulk of the time, can play 80%, 75% of your games and be a number one goalie in this league. He's shown, when given the opportunity here over the last 15 months, that he possibly could handle that load. But every time it seems like he either gets on a little streak or, you know, he's playing well, that Jack goes back to Halak for a, you know, 5 out of 6 stretch.
Right.
So we need to see more from Grice, I think. I think the team plays better in front of him for whatever reason.
Right, no, you're right.
I know that it probably doesn't make a difference. The team, you know, for most nights looks lackadaisical, especially in the third period. But at least when Grice is out there, you feel a little bit better, at least I do. And going forward, that's the play for me. But he's probably going to keep playing Jarl. We see how this is going.
And then Cappy gets to the podium after the game and says he's losing his patience. Oh. And maybe best to have guys sit back and watch a game. We've done that in the past. If
right.
this means Strom's going to sit and Alan Quine is going to play, Jack, that's not sending a message. You want to send a message here, it's time to sit a guy like Andrew Ladd or Jason Chimeria. I know I'm going to eat a ton of crow because I was pumping Ladd's tires forever.
No,
going
you're the guy, bro.
Year, He has not been good. Chimera's been terrible. If you want to send a message here, you got to scratch one of those guys.
Yeah,
you have the team across town, Mike, sitting their number one goalie for 4 games in a row because he's getting outplayed. So
why can't
you sit somebody of name rather than, you know, Strome for Quine? It's not going to do anything.
You're 100% right. And unfortunately, Bri, you're right. You got to take the hit. Because you really waved the flag for Andrew
I did.
For the last
he
year.
He has not been good.
And it's,
there's no
it's
way
been
around
a disaster.
It. Yep.
It's been a disaster. Chimera's been, you know, terrible too. I know he had that little 3-game. He had goals in 3 out of 4 games,
right.
whatever that was. I mean, one of them hit him, you know, basically hit him and went in the net. You know, let's calm down with that being a big confidence builder when you right. get a goal that basically a guy shoots a puck and it bounces off of you. That's not a confidence builder. That's called luck.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
good for Jason that night. Ladd stinks. He's had a terrible year.
Yeah,
there's no way around it. I don't really care what he does over the last 3 months because
well,
the season's
not gonna
over
matter,
now.
Right?
Season's over. This is
right,
it.
Right.
This is the time has passed now, and now we're basically playing, unfortunately, for the future. I mean,
yep.
this is it. What do you think? They're cooked, Bri.
They're done.
I think they're cooked.
They're done.
Cooked.
They're done, Mike. And you know what? And that means play the kids. Let's see Anthony Beauvillier play 16, 17 minutes instead of 9 or 10. Let's
right.
see this kid play. This
right.
is they're done, Mike. I mean, you look at this division like we said a couple minutes ago. Philly's won 9 in a row. Columbus has won 7 in a row. Pittsburgh, Washington, they're all winning 6 and 7 games in a row. It's unbelievable.
Right. They're all out on hot streaks. You know, the Flyers, I looked. The Flyers had won 9 in a row.
They're going for their 10th straight win Wednesday night.
And they basically gained no ground. I mean, they're in the same exact spot.
They're a wild card team when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I know, but it's usually when you win 9 in a row, you can fly up
right.
the standings a little bit.
Yep.
And they can't because everybody else in the Metro is playing so well.
Yeah, it's bad.
The Islanders are buried in a hole. It's over. Ladd is and Chimera have been just a colossal disappointment. And I'm with you 100%, Bri. If we go in here in the next game and Strom sits, you know, it's really just, Jack, a lot of hot air, what he did last night. And I liked hearing him say those things. But, Jack, honestly, have you been watching all 28 games?
It's bad.
You finally felt last night that there's some guys, you know, what was it, you know, driving the analytics, some guys that are obviously driving it down. It's
right.
frustrating. You know the talent's there. You don't know where it's gone. Jack, it hasn't been there
yeah.
all year. 28 games it hasn't been there.
Mike,
it's a disgrace.
He's got to break up Letty and Hamonic. He has to. They're minus 29 combined.
Yeah.
At what point do you –
That's
I mean,
tough.
He has no problem whatsoever shuffling the lines after 10 minutes. But
yeah,
Letty and Hamonic
league.
Are going to
yeah.
play 82 games together.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It makes
I'm not
no
the biggest,
sense.
I'm not the biggest plus-minus guy.
Mike, it's minus 29.
I know that is tough to look at when you see it. I plus minus has a lot to do with who's on the ice the most. Also, those guys play more than anybody, and with how bad the team has been. But minus 29 is
it's
is
minus 29.
That's a big hole. Yeah, you might want to think about just breaking it up. Wow. I don't know. This is just
and it's not even
a colossal
it's
disgrace.
Not even that they're playing 10 minutes more than guys behind them. I mean, Letty
right.
played 21 minutes last night and Hickey played 17 and a half.
Yeah. No, you're
There's
right.
There's a problem
right
here. There is a problem here, and it needs to be addressed. It can't just be all about the forwards. You've got to put Letty, maybe Letty and Boychuk, Hickey and right. Hamonic, whatever. Dahan and Hamonic played together forever back in the day.
Shuffle the deck. He's got
You've
no got
to do
right.
something, Mike.
He shuffles the deck so much with the forwards. I mean, nonstop shuffling of the deck that maybe shuffling the deck with the defenseman wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for a little bit. Because that, you're right, the ship might have sailed a little bit here on Hamonic and Letty playing together for, you know, every single night.
All right, Mike, Chicago's in town Thursday night. Who sits? I go with Chimera. He and Ladd combined for no shots the other night against Washington. One of them should sit. I would go with Chimera. Maybe Ladd sees his former team and it lights a spark. Who knows? But I sit Chimera Thursday night. What do you think?
You know who's sitting, Ryan Strong.
Yeah, exactly.
You know who's going to
or,
sit.
Or Beauvillier.
Where else is he going to go? You know how this was all bluster last night from Jack, you know, calling guys out. He doesn't have the stones to sit Ladd or Chimera. He just doesn't. You know that he doesn't. So I think he's going to sit one of these other guys. I can't believe, Brian, that he still didn't call the guys out by name. He's done that in the past on an occasion.
Just do it.
Because just, you know, but, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but he'll probably sit Strome on Thursday.
Mike, we have Ernie on the phone. Hey, Bri.
Hey,
Bri.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Nothing good. How are you?
Good. Congratulations, Carver.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Thank you very much. It's been a wild couple of days, that's for sure.
I hear you, man. I'm only a couple months ahead of you. So
You were telling me. I talked to you on Twitter the other day. You said a couple, October, right?
Is where
you
guys at, right? Yeah, the end of October. And it's funny. You know, I'm here to tell you that sleep will be elusive, but it'll come. I promise.
I'm trying to find it here and there. I got home from work last night at, you know, 2:45 in the morning, and I think I hit the pillow at about 7:45 or 8 o'clock. So I grabbed three hours before I jumped on here with you guys. So
nice.
Let's rock and roll.
Pretty soon they'll be in junior high school and they won't want to talk to you guys. You have that.
Well, yes,
I can tell you that from experience.
Internet sensations picking Islanders games. You know, you never know.
we are officially back in train wreck mode, Bri. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. And I mean, the signs pointed to it. I started to believe a little bit and maybe get a little too ahead of myself on the sixth straight game. And it's just, they get out-attempted every single night.
Yep.
The team is a possession nightmare. I mean, what the heck happened to this team over the last 2 years? And you can't even blame it all on personnel because, let's be fair, they lost the three free agents. We always talk about that. The team stunk possession-wise last year too.
Right.
So you know, I don't get it. I just really, really don't. And you know, I think eventually there's going to have to be a change, if only to, I don't know, entice your star player that it might be worth re-upping for the next 6 or 7 years this summer. I just don't see how they can keep going on like this.
Yeah, Bri, it's been a disgrace here so far this year. Me and Bri were kind of talking about it. Me and B-Comp were talking about it before you jumped on. Cappy kind of makes it sound like he's going to make some changes heading into the next game. You know, there's some guys who are, you know, driving the analytics. There's some struggling forwards. He didn't really name anybody. But what do you think that he'll actually make any kind of a change when they play the Blackhawks coming up here this week?
No. I mean, of course he won't. Of course he won't, because, you know, I don't think that Jack – listen, Jack's going to get beat up a lot here. He has been. He's going to still be until he has this job. It's not all his fault. So, I mean, I think his system right now is partially to blame for sure. But, you know, you go out and you sign two big free agents, and they've stunk. They've been terrible.
Awful.
And there's not even a consideration. I heard you guys talking about Chimera before I jumped on. It's not even a consideration to sit Chimera, which is nuts. Why not? I mean, supposedly there were like 20 teams on this guy in free agency. Okay,
right.
Somebody call one of them right now and see if they have an extra bag of pucks laying around. Because seriously, I mean, it's just stupid. And to this idea that we should just keep sitting Ryan Strome and Anthony Beauvillier and even Alan Quine, see what these guys are. They're not going anywhere. The last wild card projects like 103 points right now. They're not getting to 103 points.
No chance.
No way. So just let's see what the young guys have. I mean, this is the reality of the situation. This happened in Tampa a couple of years ago. They had a setback season. They cleaned house. You know, they changed coaches. and they went and moved on and became a better franchise for it. The Islanders, I'm sorry, they just have to do it, and they have to stop buying their own BS. I mean, this idea that, oh, we got points in six straight, but every single night we're still getting out attempted. Every night the goaltender has to stand on his head for us to win. They're not getting the playoffs. It's just not happening.
Brian,
I respect him going nuts, Bri. It's just you know it's a lot. I like when coaches do that, but for me, just a lot of hot air. You know, there's nothing he's gonna do. So I'm with you. Go ahead, Pete Tom.
Yeah.
There's no merit system under Jack Heppy. There never has been. I mean, how many games over the last 3 years prior to this season did we see Brian Strait caught with his tail between his legs and was trotted out there night after night after night?
Right. He sat Anders Lee in Game 7 of the playoff series for crying out loud. For Colin McDonald because, I don't know, good mojo? Like, that's the – I mean, whatever. We could go on and on and on. The problem that I have is what you were talking about, Brian, is that there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or a reason. And to just chew these young guys out, it seemingly – honestly, for no reason, why are we just beating up on Ryan Strome? Ryan Strome is the issue with this team. It doesn't make any sense. And the other thing, I have to talk about this briefly. The Andrew Ladd thing, because we touched on underachieving free agents. Can we put this guy on the top line? Is there anything to lose?
Right.
How do you spend $37.5 million on a free agent to play him with Casey Cizikas?
Right.
With all due respect to Casey, he's here to be John Tavares' winger. Why is he not on John Tavares' wing?
Right, I'm with you. Either scratch him or put him with Johnny, one or the other.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, guys. It really doesn't. It's hard to watch. It really is. How about this? There's another thing that's come up here today, Bri. How about splitting up Hamonic and Letty, who are probably going to finish on pace to finish the season at about minus 95. They're sitting there right now. It's just going to keep going and going. I'm not the biggest plus-minus guy, but
if it's
so
easy
to shuffle the deck with the forwards, why not shuffle the deck with the defenseman a little bit?
Yeah, of course he stinks too. I mean, they're at like 43%, even strength Corsi 4, something like that.
Well, that's a bad word in my world, bro.
Well,
I don't want to hear about Corsi.
Listen, not any stat is perfect, right, okay? They're just there to try to evaluate a player in a vacuum, which is hard to do as it is. But we can at least say that if there are a lot of shot attempts against, and not many for, with these two guys on the ice, they haven't been very good. I think that's fair to say. I mean, they're defensemen. They should, hopefully be keeping the puck moving forward and, getting them to their forwards, bringing their forwards. They've been terrible. Letty, I thought we missed this last year because they were still playing well, but Letty had a brutal first half last year. Uncharacteristic of him. His possession analytics, which are always off the charts. He's such a good skater.
He didn't score a goal till right about now, right?
Yeah. We talked about right around this time last year, and he hadn't scored a goal yet. So, break him up. We got to try something. I mean, we have to find something that works. It reminds me a lot of the 2013-14 season in those waning stages where the Islanders were bad, John got hurt, and then everybody was like, okay, good, now we know we're not going anywhere. Because
mail it in.
Yeah, let's see what some of the young guys had. And you know what? You found out a few things about your young players in that March-April run, and that team played pretty well. So find out. And the other thing is, if you're going to hire a president and let him make these decisions because – we talked about Chimera. There are other guys. Grice is on an expiring deal. If you could entertain moving him and solving this fiasco, maybe making the Yarrow decision, letting Berube do something, anything. You got to have, if you're going to have somebody ahead of Garth who's going to make those decisions, he should be making those decisions when it matters. I mean, this is a big point in the development of this franchise. They're going to move forward here in a direction. Ownership's obviously committed to getting them moving forward. So I don't understand the idea of having somebody essentially is a lame duck, I guess. From the reports, it seems like Garth is. So why are we not just letting the new guy call the shots? This process has been going on since the summer. Let's go. Let's do it. Make a move.
Brian, it sounds like Jack threw his hands up again last night as far as the roster goes. There's nobody in the bullpen. I don't know what you want me to do. I get the sense that him and Gar just aren't seeing eye to eye right now as far as the roster goes.
Just keep going Addison Reed and Jerry Familia. That's a terrible I don't know. There are guys you can call up.
Right.
I mean, if you really wanted to, you know, spark something, maybe. I wouldn't call up Delcol or Hosang because you're just going to put them in a bad position. Right now, I don't think that's putting them in the best position to succeed. But, I mean, you could shake up some stuff. You could sit a veteran, God forbid. I mean, you could do some stuff that would maybe wake some guys up instead of just kind of being passive-aggressive in the media. I don't know. Does that really have an effect? Do players really appreciate that?
No.
I mean, every single player you talk to seems to say, we like everything done in-house. I've never seen a premier coach call out his players, you know, if even one by one, and everybody just be like, oh, thank goodness he did that. It really saved me. I don't get it. It just seems like everybody's frustrated. We're frustrated. They're frustrated. And for good reason, let's face it.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. Every time the organization seems to take, you know, a half a step or a full step forward as a hockey club, the next season they take two or three steps back. I mean, you saw it after the year that they made the playoffs and played Pittsburgh, then they took a step back. And now here they are, they finally win a round. And it seems like once again, fellas, they're taking two steps back. It's hard, and as a fan base, I can't blame them. You know, Brian, you can talk about this. It's hard to have to deal with this stuff on a constant basis because you just know that the other shoe is going to fall. It's really tough to sit in and watch, and I don't blame people that don't go. I don't blame people. You know, it's hard to deal with. It really is.
It is hard, and, you know, the one thing I'll say about the attendance is this has always been a team since –
Oh,
whatever.
People only go if they win, Bri. We know that. People only go if they win.
But even if you look at the fluctuations in attendance when they're okay, maybe, it's always January on. You know, for the first 3 months of the season, this fan base just they're not ready yet. They have baseball, they have football, they have other things going on. The holidays, that's just is what it is. But right now, they're not going to get a bump. You know, it's not like in January people are suddenly going to say, oh yeah, let's just go to Brooklyn. And the fans are frustrated, and I am one, so I get it. You know, Mike, you know, you're there all the time, and so I get it, and I know people are venting it, you and Brian and me, and on social media, and guys, trust me, it behooves us for them to be good as well. you know, we don't want them to stink. I don't want to watch a crummy hockey team. I've watched a lot of crummy hockey in my 32 years on this earth, and I don't need any more. I think I filled my quota. I'll find one encouraging thing. I like the Clutterbuck extension, and here's why. If you overpay a little bit for a guy, and I don't even necessarily know that that was really an overpay, but even if you overpay a little bit for a guy that they obviously think is a crucial component to this team, it shows that ownership is not going to nickel and dime you. You know, and let's face it, in 2 years, Kuhlman, Grabowski, Halak, they all come off the ledger.
Yeah.
You can re-up Johnny for a nice sum of money and still have money to spend there. You know you're going to have Dalcol and Hosang and Bevilier and probably Barzal making nothing. So you're going to have plenty of room to spend, plenty of room to improve this team. And now ownership has shown you that if they think the guy is the right fit, you know, obviously they do with Clutterbuck, and for the 80 people who are tweeting me, no, they obviously didn't with Kyle Laposo. I'm sorry that, you know, that they felt that way, but for what you guys touched on it last week, for whatever reason, Garth just decided that he wasn't part of the solution anymore. You know, I think they'll spend for whoever they think is the right mix. Now, getting the right person to decide the right mix, well, that might be another story, and they're obviously working on that too.
Brian, before we let you go, I know Mike's going to lose his you-know-what over this, but there was another story in Newsday the other day about Belmont Park. What do you think?
I think they're serious about exploring it. I think ownership wants their own building. But that being said, I don't think they're leaving Brooklyn. It's too beneficial for the Barclays Center, and I don't think they're going to get around the legality of good faith. I just really don't. I think if Ledecky and Malkin had their druthers, I think the team would be back on Long Island. I don't know if it's possible for them to get that. I think that ship may have already sailed. I'm hopeful. I live in Suffolk County, so I would love to only drive a half an hour as opposed to getting on two trains.
Right.
Not that that's the biggest deal in the world, too, guys,
it's
by
not.
The way.
It's
a little
not.
Dramatic
right.
with like, oh, the OIR, you know, deal with it. People
right.
take it to work like 5 days a week. So,
yep.
But, yeah, I mean, we'll see. We're going to get a lot of answers in a little over a year because we're going to figure it out eventually. But if you had to ask me to put, you know, my mortgage on it, I'm definitely saying that they're in Brooklyn for the life of this lease.
I'm with you. Bri, great stuff, man. Thanks for a few minutes. Talk to you
guys,
soon.
Guys, thanks for having me. Mike, sleep tight, all right, buddy?
thanks, Bri. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Brian Ernie does a great job for Islanders Point Blank. Mike, let's get back to Clutterbuck for a minute. I'm glad he brought that up. I don't have a problem with the money. I don't understand why people think it's way too much money. It's more the years than anything else. But for me, he's very close with John Tavares. And if this pushes the Islanders closer to a long-term deal with John Tavares, I'm all for it. That's how I look at it.
That's the main goal here. That is the end game. Obviously, the end in terms of a roster, that is the end game. The end game, obviously, as an organization, is you have to eventually, you know, be a team that is a serious Stanley Cup contender. And the only way you become that is by having John Tavares as your figurehead, as he's been for the last few years. I think at the end of the day, as we know, he's not going to leave. The Clutterbuck thing is a good start to it.
Yep.
You know, we kind of thought that this was going to be his last year here. You thought he'd get a lot of money.
I did.
On the free agent market. So this is good to see. It's good to see somebody sticking around, and I think it's a good deal for them. I don't know about the last year or two of that deal. We'll see how
that's every
how
contract.
Going, but
it's every
yeah,
contract.
It's every contract. You have to take that. That's with everything. You think that the last two or three years of Andrew Ladd's contract
oh,
looks good
my
right
goodness.
Now? You know, the first year looks bad. So let's
right.
Let's see how it goes. But I thought it was a nice job.
The next 3 weeks of Andrew Ladd's contract doesn't look good the way things are going. How about Antti Raanta starting 4 games in a row, Mike?
Yeah. You know, it just shows you that sometimes you have to, you know, make decisions that better your hockey club, even though
yep.
you have a potential future Hall of Famer, a guy who calls him, you know, who gets dubbed the king, even though he's never won a cup. You have a guy like that on your roster, and you have the ability to sit him for 4 games. It takes a lot of guts, and good job by Vigneault for doing that. And the Rangers, Bri, they keep on winning also. So status quo there.
And, Mike, this ties into what we were talking about earlier with Jack and accountability. You have to have the grapefruits to sit guys when they're not performing. So kudos to Alain Vigneault. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, like you said, he's got the grapefruits, he's got the stones, and he made the move. And he finally, you know, you'll see Hank again. And honestly, this is something that I've been yelling about for years, why the Rangers, you know, usually they, and I know they made a couple deep runs, but Hank usually is so gassed by the time he gets to April and May.
That's not going to be the case this time.
That won't be the case this year. So who knows? Rangers setting themselves up. It's going to be tough to watch, especially when the Islanders are 20 points out in the middle of March. So it is what it is.
You can check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Okazi, and Adam Rotter. We spoke with Larry Brooks from the New York Post this week about the goaltending situation and the impending return of Rick Nash to the lineup. To find the show, search SNY.TV Rangers on the iPhone podcast app. Wherever you listen to your podcast, and make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the channel. All right, Mike, I know you don't want to get into this, but we have to just because it's out there again. Belmont Park, they canceled the RFP for the Cosmo Stadium, kind of opening the door for the Islanders possibly building an arena there. You jump over getting through the town, having to deal with all that political junk. So is this a possibility? What do you think?
No.
It's
not. Not a possibility. Sorry. Just more newspaper headlines, more things to get people who aren't as interested in the team as others to think that the Islanders are coming back to Long Island. There's nothing happening. You know, invite me to the when you put the shovel in the ground. That's when I'll believe. I'm not doing it anymore. Like you said, Bri, we kind of did this ad nauseum over the summer and when all those other stories came out and I just got all excited about it. And I'm not doing that again. I've made my stance on this. They are playing hockey in Brooklyn for the foreseeable future. They're not going to Long Island. They're not going to Belmont Park. They're not going to Flushing Meadows. They're not going to Suffolk, Westchester, New York City, Connecticut, or anywhere other than that. Okay, it isn't happening. and I will not believe it until I go to a shovel-in-the-ground ceremony right. that has John Ledecky, John Tavares, and all the other Islander figureheads, along with the people of Nassau County, standing there putting a shovel in the ground. That is when I will believe that the Islanders are moving back to Nassau County. And guess what, folks? That is not happening.
Yeah, you know, Mike, when Charles brought up the whole lighthouse idea, the people in Garden City went crazy about traffic and everything else.
Right.
So why would this be any different? Even if the state says, yeah, we really want to do this, you're going to tell me that the residents on like Tulip Avenue and Plainfield and all around Floral Park, they're going to want an arena in their backyard?
I know a couple people, Bri, who live over there.
Yeah.
That I'm close with, and they've already got a huge amount of the community together to fight all these things that they try to build at Belmont Park. They are completely against it. They've got they've done rallies before with other things they tried to build, the casinos, everything else they've tried to build there. And I get a casino is a different argument than a sporting arena. I understand that. But these people don't want anything there. I don't know if I could say I blame them. Listen, it would be great to see the Islanders go back to Nassau County, but it's not happening. So please stop with the stories. I can't, Bri. I can't do it. I can't do it. I saw that Saturday morning. I was like, just please get the paper away from me. I can't.
Newsday, Randy Marshall, who's been all over this stuff, she says at least one source tells her that a decision might not be far away. If that's the case, Mike, can we know before the season's over one way or the other? I don't want this dragging on for another 2 years.
Here's a decision. We're not going anywhere.
Right.
That's the decision, okay? Sorry, folks. Once again, we got you all pumped up, and it's not happening. So please, like I've told you in the past, do not get involved. Do not get your hopes up because it's not happening. I'm sorry.
Great show, buddy. Get some sleep.
Thanks, pal. Good to be back.
Congratulations.
A couple weeks, I'll be back with you in the studio. Can't wait. But for now, it's back to the baby I go.
So is it Olivia? Is it Livy? What are we calling her?
I call her Liv.
Yeah?
You know, pretty
that's
much
cool.
a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like Liv. That's been kind of my go-to so far. So the Olivia Liv, that's where I'm going, buddy.
Congratulations, buddy. All the best. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks again to Brian Ernie. Thanks for listening to the Islanders Point Blank Podcast. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.